Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 18th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Lenten blessings to you. And I pray that you are well at the beginning of this season and that we can join together in a season of prayerful reflection and repentance as we move toward Resurrection Sunday. So let's begin, as is our custom and practice here. Let's begin by breathing and celebrating the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. And as you breathe, call to mind those people, places, and things and opportunities that fill you with gratitude, that bring a smile to your face. Turn your face toward the sky. Give thanks to God for it all. And in this spirit, in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. You can find the bulletin just below where you found today's podcast. Just click on that area where it says sermon notes, or it might even say bulletin down there. Click on that, it will come up for you. And now let's begin. Prepare the way, the prophets call. Make ready the highways of God. How we look forward to walking along the sidewalks in God's kingdom of peace. Prepare your hearts, for God's realm opens up a new day. We yearn for the time when the wolf and lamb will live together in harmony. Prepare the way. God promises a new day when adversaries will lay down their arms. We dream of a world transformed by God's love. May the God of hope fill your hearts with all joy and peace. We rejoice, for God's Spirit is in our midst. Gospel reading comes from Mark's Gospel in the first chapter, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it.
Thank you.
Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the gift of your word alive and among us. And we pray, O God, to hear what it is you are saying to us as individuals and to the community that is the body of Christ, the church. Especially during this season of Lent, help us to draw near to you. Help us to hear you in the words of Scripture and in prayer and in community. We pray all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. We have a guest preacher with us today, Bill Cutler, a vital member. He and his wife, Kathy, both very vital and active members of the Beach Church. Kathy serves as our volunteer music director, and Bill wears multiple hats around this place as well, currently serving as the vice president of our council. Bill spent the majority of his career in campus ministry with InterVarsity. So without further ado, I gladly and gratefully welcome Bill Cutler. If you listened to this podcast from just about a month ago on January 21st, you might remember that today's scripture reading is the same one as the one for that day. And you might remember that Jim started his sermon that day by pointing out that these words, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel," are the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, which was the first of the gospels to be written. And so this is a foundational statement of what Jesus is all about. Well, I knew in January that I'd be speaking today, so that when Jim started to preach that morning, I wondered if he was going to say everything that I was beginning to think about. But he didn't. He focused on the calling of Peter and Andrew. But I want to focus on this first statement of Jesus, this announcement and this calling. And the first part of the calling is repent. And it can be easy to think that maybe Jesus was starting off with sort of a bad news message. I was in campus ministry for many years, and at one of the schools that I was at, there was a Brother Jed who would come around about once a month, set up a loudspeaker and stand on a box on the sidewalk by the school dining hall and yell at students in an angry voice as they came out from lunch that they should repent because they were all on their way to hell. Was Jesus doing that sort of thing here? And I saw also that you can order a t-shirt online with an image of a hand with a finger pointing out at whoever is in front of you with the words, "Repent, sinner," emblazoned above and below the hand. Would Jesus have worn that if it was available then? Now, sometimes in the Bible, repent does carry a moral meaning. It confronts us with a call to acknowledge our sin and to turn away from it. But here, in this passage, this call to repent is more like a call to wake up, pay attention, turn around, because a wonderful new thing is happening. About 30 years after Jesus' resurrection, a Jewish aristocrat named Josephus wrote about his encounter with the leader of a Jewish militia group who was plotting a rebellion against Rome's occupation of the country. Josephus thought that a violent rebellion against Rome would end up in disaster for Israel, and later he was proved to be right. But at this point, he was trying to keep some measure of peace through accommodation with Rome, so that he told this leader that he should repent and believe in me. And by that, Josephus was not saying that this militia leader should somehow feel badly and have a mournful religious experience of some sort. No, he was simply calling that leader to change his direction, to change his allegiance. He was telling him, "Listen, I've got a better way. Come with me." That's the way that this statement in Mark needs to be understood. Jesus is saying, "Wake up. There's a new thing happening. The reign of God is right here and now through what I'm doing. So join in with me." This call to repent is a good news message. And the good news is that Jesus is announcing that God's kingdom is at hand. God's kingdom.
That's a loaded term that picks up on what Israel's prophets had spoken of and longed for ages before. God's kingdom meant people would be free from oppression. God's kingdom meant people could live in peace, security, and abundance. If you have a Bible nearby, look up Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. God's kingdom is about the time when the one who is filled with God's Spirit becomes king and things really change. And in that passage, Isaiah says that in that day, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Centuries and centuries later, Tommy Dorsey wrote a song for Mahalia Jackson called "There Will Be Peace on the Valley." It's been recorded by Dolly Parton, by Elvis, by Randy Travis, Loretta Lynn, and you can listen to it on YouTube. And that song is inspired by this scripture passage, especially the verse that declares that the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb, and the beast from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. That's a vision of the kingdom of God. But there's more. In Isaiah 65, verse 19, the prophet says that God's kingdom is marked by joy. It says that the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Verse 21 says that God's kingdom is marked by security. People will be able to build their homes and live in them in peace. Now, since Russia invaded Ukraine, 12 million people have been displaced from their homes. That's a violation of God's kingdom vision of safety and stability. Verse 23 says that God's kingdom is marked by hope. For, quote, they will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. I think of the nearly 100,000 children kidnapped and forced to become child soldiers or sex slaves over the past 20 years by a violent religious militia in northern Uganda. That's a violation of God's kingdom vision of cherishing children. And in verse 25, he sings again about the wolves and the lambs and the lions and the oxen being transformed so that they can live in peace. There's a virulent strain in our politics today that's driven by anger, demonizing those on the other side and willing to consider violence in order to beat down the opposition. That's a violation of God's kingdom vision of reconciliation. The coming of the reign of God is good news, and Jesus' announcement is that turning from other allegiances and following him and his way is how it will come to fruition. And so, repent and believe. And Mark illustrates this in the rest of the section when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew and then James and John to leave their fishing behind and sign up with him. There's obviously nothing wrong with making a living by fishing, but Jesus has something different in mind for them. And so, they repent and they follow. And we see it later on, too, in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus tells a paralyzed man to take up his mat and walk. The good news was that he could turn from the life he was used to on that mat and walk in a new way. And so he repented, stood up, and he walked. And we see it in the parable Jesus told in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. When he spoke of a farmhand who was digging in a field and hit upon a treasure so valuable that he sold everything he had to buy that field so that he could get the treasure. He also told the story of a jewel merchant who stumbled upon a pearl so valuable that he sold all that he had in order to buy it. And so both men turned from what they were used to doing. They repented in order to get that treasure because it's good and beautiful. Even more dramatically, we see it in John chapter 11, When Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and makes the outrageous call for Lazarus to come out of the tomb and live, turn away from being dead in that dark tomb and walk into the light of life. That's a metaphor for us all. And we see it in the writings of Paul when he preaches in Acts chapter 26. And he uses that metaphor of light to preach about how God invites people to turn from darkness to the light. Paul wrote in Romans 14 that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We also see it in Romans 3. When Paul calls upon the squabbling groups of Gentiles and Jews to stop arguing about which group was better and to see themselves no longer primarily as Romans or Jews or, in our case, as Americans, but as people bound together as citizens of heaven. All these stories are pictures of God's reign. And Jesus is saying that he's come to bring this about here and now, and he invites us to believe in him, to follow him, and to take part in what he's doing. Now, sometimes we may forget this. The wolves and the lions and the bears and the snakes of the world seem every bit as dangerous now as they did when Isaiah wrote those words nearly 3,000 years ago, when first Assyria the wolf and later Babylon the lion threatened to eat up Israel the lamb. Today, with Russia seeking to devour Ukraine, and with Israel and Palestine locked in a seemingly endless deadly conflict, and with the political tensions, animosity, and violence in our own country, it's understandable that sometimes we may think that the struggles, frustration, and meanness in the world is all there is and all that ever shall be. Think about being stuck in traffic on the highway. If you know Route 98 in Gulf Breeze, where I live, you can experience that almost any morning and late afternoon. Construction has been going on now for at least 3 years, and congestion is a daily reality. It's always unpleasant. But what if one day, while all of us on that road suddenly came to believe that being stuck on that hot, grimy highway with the never-ending lines of orange and white construction barrels, that was all there is? What if we all forgot that we're actually going somewhere and instead came to think that there's nowhere else to go and there's no way to get out of the traffic? This is just the way it is and there's no way out. We're all just stuck. Think of the road rage that would erupt. What would we feel? How would we act? But we are a people who know that the traffic jams of life are not all there is. This vision of God's kingdom at hand means we are not stuck in an endless congestion of meanness and violence and suffering. We are on the way towards God's kingdom, despite the traffic jams and obstacles that get in our way. That good news calls us to turn towards hope, a hope rooted in the promise of God, which we pray for each Sunday when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This call to repent, to turn around, to affirm our loyalty to that hope, it's all good news. We're called out of apathy and self-absorption and retaliation and despair and spite into healing, into love, into forgiveness, into transformation, into being God's representatives in the world, caring, serving, and setting others free, into life in the Spirit where what matters is faith expressed by love. This call to repent is not to condemn us in our sin, but it is a call to invite us to join Jesus in the work of God in the world. That's good news. And we see people doing that. At the risk of embarrassing them, I see a sign of God's kingdom in the efforts of my daughter Corey and her Ukrainian husband Kostya to raise funds to provide relief for Ukrainian refugees. That's kingdom work. I see a sign of God's kingdom in the faculty and staff at the Navy Point School in Pensacola, who work hard to provide good educational resources for their students, many of whom live below the poverty level and some are homeless. As our church partners with them in the ways that we can, that's kingdom work. I see a sign of God's kingdom in the interfaith ministry Gulf Thrift Store in Gulf Breeze, It started about 25 years ago from a desire that a few people had to come up with a way to provide some help for low-income people in Santa Rosa County. And now the profits from that store are used to fund the Good Samaritan Health Clinic, which serves people with no health care insurance. That's kingdom work. The good news of the gospel, it's like a jewel. Depending on how you look at it, the light conditions, it shines and glows in different ways. I first responded to the call to follow Christ when I was about 11. And I think what drew me in then was that I respected the way of life that I saw in others in my church, like the high school track coach and my Sunday school teacher, who was a butcher in the local supermarket. They were good men. They cared and gave to others like me, and I wanted to follow the way that they were following. A few years later, what drew me to keep on following Christ was the hope and meaning in life that I saw in the gospel. While a lot of my friends were hoping that money or drugs or a career or a relationship would make them fulfilled, I was seeing that Christ was the source of the abundant life, and I wanted to follow that way. And nowadays, the aspect of the good news that most speaks to me is the vision of this new community that Isaiah longed for and that Paul wrote passionately about. The hope that the differences that separate us will one day be replaced with a common love, and that we see a taste of that kingdom of God whenever there is compassion instead of apathy, or kindness instead of cruelty, or humility instead of arrogance, or when power is used to build up others instead of crushing them. That's good news. I want to keep turning away from anything that distracts me from that. I want to keep waking up to this hope. I want to keep turning from other agendas and live like that. It's good news, and I want to be part of a community that seeks that. How about you? How is the gospel good news for you now? How does it call on you to act? Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Traditionally, Lent was a 40-day period prior to Easter, meant to be a time when new converts who wished to be baptized on Easter could repent and prepare the way for the Lord to come into their lives. And it's a good time for us to hear anew the words, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Repent and believe in the good news, and to take action. Now, in our church, we take time during the service to get out of our seats, walk around, to shake hands or hug one another as we say, "The peace of Christ be with you." It's a bit chaotic and sometimes it can feel awkward, but doing that is meant to be a symbol of how we are to treat people, not only in church, but when we leave as well. We are called to pass on the peace of Christ in our families, our workplace, our politics, our community groups, wherever we are and whatever we do. Passing the peace is a sign of God's kingdom breaking into our world. So how might you put this call to pass the peace of Christ to others into practice during Lent? May you repent and believe and seek to follow Christ by living as a hint of hope to others. In the name of Christ, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, be with us as we contend with our lives and our challenges. Thank you for listening. As we bring before you the troubles that undermine us, we affirm it is written, "One does not live by bread alone." Strengthen and sustain our families and our communities. Nurture the bonds between us and inspire us to live with empathy and forgiveness. Help those struggling with work or facing uncertainty in their futures, that they may find peace in your abundant love. Jesus, our Redeemer, rescue us when we stumble. We proclaim, it is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Enable us to admit the temptations of the world and support us to resist turning away from your teaching. Awaken us to recognize the gifts you have given each one of us and to see the role we can play in healing your creation. be with our leaders and those around the world, that we may act with compassion and generosity, guide them to humbly serve their own countries, and to foster peace across our borders. God, our Creator, inspire us with renewed hope. We acknowledge it is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Deepen our faith to hear your word and follow your way." Encourage us to bring all our hopes and desires to you in prayer, that in lifting up our souls to you, we may be shaped by your love. Help us to hear the dialogue of prayer and to listen in prayer as much as we speak. Comfort those battling ill health, to bear their pain with patience, strength, and courage. Holy Spirit, our Comforter, sustain us in our times of trial. As this we pray, assured by your eternal love. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought you to, walk in boldness as a beloved child of God. Walk in peace under the shelter of the Most High. Walk in faith, knowing Christ walks with you. You walk in the presence of God, this God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is with you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.